The title that I've given for today's message is Remembering. Remembering is a powerful thing. I want you to do me a favor as we get started this morning. I want you to do your best just to clear your minds and not be thinking of anything for a moment. And I'm going to ask you to remember some things. As you remember those things, I want you to pay attention to your mood. I want you to pay attention to your expressions. I want you to pay attention to the way these memories make you feel and perhaps how they may even impact the rest of your day. The first thing I'm going to ask you to remember is your first car. Second thing I'll ask you to remember is the day your child was born. Remember where you were when the planes hit the Twin Towers. Remember your first kiss. And Caleb and Noah, that better be in the future. Then finally, remember your favorite meal your mom ever made for you. We just celebrated 4th of July. This was a time to remember what it took for this country to have freedom. I expect somewhere in the midst of eating hot dogs, attending the parade, and watching fireworks, you had some appreciation for the country in which we live. Remembering is important. Remembering is the act of bringing the past to the present. Not only that, but when we remember, our past has the ability to impact our future. And I'm going to ask you, did it not in some way when I just ask you the things that I did? When I ask you to remember your first car, did you just remember the first car? Or did you remember scenarios around it? Did you remember how old you were? Did you remember what life was like then? Did you remember a feeling of new responsibility? As I talked about the day that your child was born, did you remember that that was probably never any joy you had had like before that? Did it change anything about the way you're feeling right now? Are there things that I mentioned that have already caused you that you think it's put you in a different place, that it may make a difference in your day? Do you understand that remembering is powerful? And so today, as we come to the table, we're following an instruction from Jesus Christ himself. I'd like to read a complimentary scripture to go along with what Becky just shared with us. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, and it says this: "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me.'" It's covered up right now, but does anyone happen to know what the inscription is on the front of our communion table? In remembrance of me. It's important. There's a reason Jesus said this. Jesus instructed us to remember him through this act of communion. I want us to consider what goes into this process of communion. I've just separated it into three different scenarios, and the first is that of the depth of Jesus' words. And I think that is a way of looking at the past, looking at who Jesus was, what he did. Jesus gave very detailed instructions to his disciples as to how to prepare the Passover meal that Becky just read about, the last meal he would share with them before his death. And although the disciples were unaware, Jesus knew God was also preparing the way for his sacrifice. Like the disciples, we quite often don't realize the meaning, the impact or the importance of an experience when we're in the midst of it. Even though the disciples could not begin to comprehend the magnitude of what was about to happen, Jesus knew this meal would forever tie these men to him through his death. And not only for his disciples, but for us as well. What happened over 2,000 years ago is just as real and relevant for us today as it was for the 12 who sat around the table in the upper room. We're not to forget that Jesus has instructed us not only to remember him, but to remember him in this manner. So that's the beginning of where we are in the scripture today. That was the past. That's looking at what Jesus wants us to remember. But now I want to move to what I'm calling the daily application that brings it to the present. When we take time to really remember, to go back in time and place ourselves at the table, it can be a very emotional experience. We can know that Jesus, through his divinity, even at the time, knew you and me, loved you and me. This love that Jesus had for us, even at that time, transcends time of the physical presence of Christ at the table to the real and spiritual presence of Christ in our lives here and now. That may be difficult for us to grasp, but I want to think about this for a moment. Jesus was with his disciples at that table. He had spent years with them. He had taught them. He had instructed them. He loved them. And even though they didn't understand how it was happening, he was about to die for them. Jesus had all of those same feelings and connections to you and to me he had to those disciples at that point. That's difficult for us to understand because we weren't physically there. But God, Jesus through God, knew and understand us and had love for us and made that sacrifice as much for us as he did for those disciples that were there. And people, that's a big deal. And we need to remember it. So much so that Jesus instructed us to remember it. Do you feel the love of Christ at this moment? Do you really feel it? Because there are things that can keep us from feeling it. We can be distracted by things around us. We can be distracted by the frustrations of life. We can be distracted by our own agendas. We can be distracted by so many things. But when we remember who God is, when we remember what God has done for us, when we remember what Christ did on the cross for us, it changes our hearts. And we're able to understand and know and experience the love of God. I want to share some scriptures with you that I think can pull us back to that place, closer to understanding the love God desires us to have today. I just want to share a few with you. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's the God of the universe doing that. Isaiah 54:10, and this one is particularly relevant this week. I think you'll see why. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And then 1 John 4:9 through 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Remembering, being aware of Christ's sacrifice opens our heart to hear and receive God's love and instructions. This type of remembering changes us. Do you believe that? Do you know that? I want us to grasp that. I've done communion. I can't count the number of times that I've led a congregation in communion. And I've talked about remembering before, but on my heart today is a conviction that all too often we simply go through the motions of doing something we've done before. And that's so not what it's supposed to be. It's not about the fact that Ray and Debbie got some juice and some bread and broke it up here so we could say that we did our communion again every quarter like we're supposed to. It's not that type of ritual. It's an honoring of Jesus Christ who died on the cross, and it's supposed to be so real and so meaningful that it takes us back to that place. And it speaks to us in the present. And it informs what we're going to be doing in the future. And we should feel the burden of Jesus' sacrifice, the joy of His love, the amazing hope of a future that He's given to us. That's what this is about today. That's what it means to remember. And people, as I said that, I got a long sleeve shirt on, but I just got chills on my arm. We're supposed to experience that type of thing. That's what Jesus meant. It aren't just words in the Bible. This takes us to what I call deed of salvation. And it propels us into the future. We make a profession of faith when we come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is in our lives. That He loved us enough to die on a cross, paying the price for our sins, defeating Satan and death, rising again on the third day. But salvation is an ongoing process. Salvation isn't a decision you make one day and get baptized and it's done. It continues. We talked about that with the children in sports camp week before last. The green on the ball meant that even after you had accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you continue to grow in that relationship with Him. Salvation is a process. Salvation is something that Jesus made possible in the past, happens in the present, but you continue to live in into the future. It's not one point in time. It's a life that we live. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, we grow in our salvation. And become more and more the person God calls us to be. We never arrive there this side of heaven, but we strive every day to be more the person God's called us to be. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can promise you today is the day God wants you to make this decision. It's not about me. But I tell you, God loves you so much, and the reason I know today is the day. He wanted you to make it sooner, but God doesn't want you to go a single day without having a relationship with Him, and so He doesn't want it another single day. But He's not going to force it. You know, it would be nice if we got to just pay attention to the scriptures that we chose that made us feel good. And I didn't really want to bring up this part because it can be such a downer, but you heard it as Becky read it. We're here and there, we're remembering the Passover, we're remembering the celebration that Jesus is having with His disciples, but in the midst of that we have the story of Judas, and it just doesn't feel good. But you know, that's the reality. There are people that will hear and come in contact with the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And just like Judas, it will become more about their own agenda than it will about accepting the gift that God has given us through Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, today's the day that God wants that to change. As Jesus sat at the table with the 12, he knew you and had as much love for you as anyone else in this world, even though it was centuries before your existence. God knows all your failures, all your mistakes, all of your dirty laundry, and He loves you all the same. And you know what else God knows? God knows how much weight that puts on you right now. And God wants to remove that weight that goes along with the sin, and He wants to give you a new life. He can and He will do that today. And if you choose to have this new life, you will participate in communion today, remembering the act Christ made on your behalf in the world that changed your life and changed all of mankind. And if you make that decision today, it does change you dramatically. And this becomes the stake in the ground, the term that I use so often, that you say, I remember this. I know this. This is real. This represents the fact that my Savior loved me so much that He went to the cross and paid the price with His body, with His blood. And it's because of that that I can have the life I have today. But if you have already made a profession of faith and know Christ as your Savior, I challenge you to consider how you're working out your salvation. Are you hearing and responding to Christ's leading? Just as Jesus gave specific instructions to the disciples to prepare the upper room, I believe God gives us instructions every day as to how we are to live our lives. Have you experienced that? He does it. I've talked to many people that have experienced it. That's what it means to continually work through our salvation. God loves us. God paid the price. Jesus Christ paid the price. But He continues to love us, continues to walk with us, continues to nurture us. And that's what He desires for each and every one of us today. I want today, we're going to have a time of invitation before we go into communion. Because I don't know where everyone is in their relationship with God. And a lot of times, there have been times that we will have communion and go into the invitation. But if there is anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you want to make that decision today, I wanted you to be able to make that decision. And right after that, I wanted you to share in communion. Because it would be such a tremendous opportunity to live out what the Scripture says. And it may be that there is no one here that today that's the decision that you make. And if not, that's okay. There's still a time of invitation. And for each of us, we're all growing. Like I said, none of us have arrived. What is the commitment you need to make, that I need to make, as we come to the table today remembering what Jesus Christ did for us? And we too need to say, God, we're going to remember. And we're going to let this affect us in a powerful way today. And we're going to let this inform who we are tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I encourage you during this time of invitation, before we head into communion, to spend time with God. Hear what God has to say and respond as He would lead. I'm going to ask if our musicians will come. And we're going to have our invitation hymn. And I'm going to say a prayer before we go into that. Lord, You are moving in a powerful way. It seems so simple. It seems that we're just coming to do what we've done so many times, so many years, over and over again, coming, simply having communion and acknowledging. Everybody here knows that what the bread and the juice stands for. We know that it's Your body and blood. It's a symbol of Your sacrifice. But Lord, I pray that it moves so far beyond that symbol, that we feel the connection to You that You desire to have with us. Because Lord, You never pull away from us. You're always beside of us, and we are the ones that pull away from You. Help us to move, even if it's just one step, God. Help us to move closer to You now at this time, to respond to You through the remembering that you have challenged us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 572. If you would take your hymnal and stand with us, we'll sing Respond as God Would Lead.